Every once in a while, an opportunity comes that makes you feel really old. How many have experienced that? Amen. Amen? Yes. And this morning is such an opportunity. Today, I have the privilege to introduce our speaker for the morning. He came to us back in about 1999, 2000, right around that time, with his family here to Crossroads. I believe he was in about sixth grade at the time. Younger, maybe fifth grade, fourth grade. And now he has grown up, he is married, he's expecting his third child, and he is preparing to go and serve God full time on the mission field. And he grew up in our youth group here. I had the privilege to teach him well for 8 years. And this morning, I hope you guys will all welcome with me our speaker, Brian Upton. Brian, come on up.
All right. Thank you.
Over the last couple of years, I've gotten kind of into baking. I like making something that looks good and delicious. And I think my family likes it too. But I think what's cool is you use all of these different ingredients, things that just seem kind of random. But when you put them together in the right way, they can make something that looks really good, like brownies. And every ingredient has a very specific purpose. You need to, use the eggs to help, let it rise. And you have salt, which seems kind of odd to put in a sweet thing. But it actually helps enhance the flavors. It helps bring out more sweetness and let like the chocolate kind of shine more, and so I think it's really cool. I think it's something that it's really fun to do. But I'm gonna come back to that, and I want to kind of recap a little bit about what we've been going over this year. We've been studying the book of Hebrews with kind of one purpose or goal in mind. Which is to see that there's no one like Jesus. The author of this book has been, writing to this audience who they're believers, they're most likely Jewish believers, who are beginning to see persecution. They're starting to be just looked down upon. They're starting to be attacked for their faith, and they're questioning, should I go back to the accepted religion of Judaism, which just believes in the Mosaic law, like focusing on like the laws and the rules. And the author is trying to explain that there is no going back. Like, you're in the right direction, and he wants to build that faith. And he's doing that by comparing Jesus to things of that old religion that they are trying to cling on to. So he makes comparisons of Jesus with angels, iconic leaders like Moses and different priests, as well as sacrifices, because they used to make all sorts of sacrifices for different sins and just to bring, like, to cleanse their families and whatnot. And he's proving that Jesus' name is greater. Greater than any angel. He holds a higher position, and his sacrifice is perfect and permanent, unlike those of the Old Testament, where they would have to give a sacrifice each month or each year, whatever it may be. And that when Jesus came, he completed that. And so with that, we're kind of getting into this, like, okay, I see who Jesus is. Personally, for me, I believe that Jesus is the one and only way, and there is no one like Jesus. But it gets us to this point, well, what am I supposed to do with that? You know, like, I believe, but where am I supposed to go with this? And that brings us to today's passage in Hebrews 11. And we'll be looking at Hebrews 11, 1 through 7. And we kind of enter this thing. A lot of people refer to it as the Hall of Faith, because we're going to begin to start seeing people who showed great examples of faith. And So it's going to continue to just build this author's case. And so we're going to get into the message. I'm going to read the text for us. You guys can follow along. I think it'll be on the screen or if you want to open your Bibles. But we'll start at Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. So in this text, we're getting a picture of three men. We see Abel, Enoch, and Noah. And all of them have done something that God recognized as righteous, and they were commended for that. So I want to kind of take a look at each one of these men and see what they did, and so we can, you know, look at the examples of them. We can find the story of Abel in Genesis. I'm going to start in Genesis 4, where it says, In the course of time, Cain, Abel's brother, brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was angry, and his face fell. And so right away, we see that faith involves sacrifice. Here we see Cain and Abel both bringing a sacrifice to the Lord. But we can see that Abel had a heart to give his first and his best. Paul says in Romans 12:1, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." And then again in Galatians 2:20, he says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And this life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And so Paul's not just simply giving, you know, his suggestion that, you know, we should give ourselves up to the Lord. He urges us. And it's during that time when we give up or we sacrifice our self-seeking will for the will of the Father, that's when we allow room for him to come in, to move in us, to speak in us. And to become the man or woman that he has called us to be in the kingdom. And something I love is in Numbers 15, you can see that our sacrifices are a sweet aroma to the Lord. And so when we give ourselves up to the Lord, when we sacrifice for the Lord, it brings pleasure to him, and it says it's like a sweet aroma. So that's just a really good visual. As we continue, we come to this man, Enoch, who in Genesis 5, you don't really hear a lot about him, but clearly he did something big enough to be mentioned again. But in Genesis 5, we see Enoch walked with God after he had fathered Methuselah 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Thus, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And so in this example, we see that faith is abiding in God. We have to just rest in God, be in God's presence. And in John 15:4, Jesus himself says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." so Jesus is just, you know, confirming, like, come into me and just be with me, abide in me, and you're going to see fruit in that. David declares in Psalms 91 that those who live in the shelter of the Most High, who find rest in the shadow of the, or will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. In other translations, it says they will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And as he continues, he says, if you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home, for he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so that you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. And so with that, we know we're still going to see trials. We're going to go through difficult times. When we abide in Christ, we're not just protected, like, in this bubble that nothing from the outside world can get us. We are going to, you know, face difficult times. I know that in my own personal life. But through that faith, we know that our salvation is secure, that our salvation is in the Lord, and that he is already victorious over that. The book of Revelation shows us that the Lord has a golden bowl of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. So as we are abiding in God, as we dig deep into his word, as we commit ourselves to prayer, we're adding to that bowl of incense. And then as we continue, we come to this man, Noah. Most of us know the story of Noah. There was a ton of corruption all over the world. And God tells Noah to build an ark that will protect him and his family from this flood that's coming. And in Genesis 6:22, it says Noah did this. He did all that God commanded him. And then after building the ark, God tells him to place his family in the ark, get two of every animal, and bring them onto the ark for protection. And in Genesis 7:5, it says, and Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. And so we see that faith requires listening, and this is obedience. It involves, as we're abiding in Christ, we'll begin to recognize his voice apart from that of the world, and we'll begin to know, okay, this is God talking to me. And at that point, we have a decision. Are we going to listen to that, or are we going to go our own separate way? And Jesus says in John 8, if God were your father, you would love me, because I have come to you from God. I am not here on my own, but he sent me. Why can't you understand what I am saying? It's because you can't even hear me. For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do evil things. You love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when I tell the truth, you just naturally don't believe me. Which of you can truly accuse me of sin? And since I am telling you the truth, why don't you believe me? Anyone who belongs to God gladly listens to the words of God, but you don't listen because you don't belong to God. And that seems like a harsh passage, but right now he's talking to the Pharisees, and that's a group of They understand who God is. They rely heavily on the law, and they began to create laws to support laws. So they're all about just structure and building upon more and more laws to just keep everyone in line. And we know that God came to set us free, not to put us in chains of laws like that. And so as we give ourselves up to the will of God and find rest in him, seeking his word through prayer and scripture, we will begin to discern the voice of God above the voices of the world. As this happens, we have a choice to listen and obey, But Jesus is clear. Anyone who belongs to God listens gladly to the words of God. But you who do not listen don't belong to God. So through our faith, we gain clarity and confidence to the voice of God. And so having read these passages, we get three big examples of faith. We recognize that their faith has become a testimony of who they are and who they believe God to be. And it's a testimony of where they place their faith. And so we know that faith, through our faith, which is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen, we're strengthening the case of the author of the Hebrews, stating that there is no one like Jesus. As we live out our faith in Jesus, we are living out his word to be the salt of the earth. In Matthew 5, we see that you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. So just like what we saw in the brownie video, that baking video, salt has a very distinct purpose. And so what salt does in baking, we do in the kingdom. We're here to live out that faith and to bring greater flavor of Jesus to the world. It'll enhance the word of God, and it'll enhance the faith in others. In 2 Corinthians 2, we see, but thank God he has made us his captives and continued to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he used us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like a sweet perfume. Our lives are a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived different by those who are saved and by those who are perishing. So as we're living out our faith, it's gonna be perceived differently by others. But as we're consistent, they're gonna recognize that there's something different about this man, there's something different about this woman, and it's gonna start to bring questions. And we know if you eat a lot of salty foods, you'll begin to get thirsty. And being the salt of the earth, it's our job to create such a thirst that only Jesus can fill, the living water. And I think it puts a lot of, pressure's not the right word. It puts a lot of weight on what we have in front of us to be faithful to our callings and to stand together and be united. And as we intentionally act in faith, the Holy Spirit will bring conviction as well as encouragement. The Holy Spirit will nudge us into action and speak through us in true love. But it all starts with sacrificing our will for that of the Father. We really have to just be willing to lay ourselves down. This is something that can be harder or easier for others at times. I know for me, it's easy to want to just fulfill my own desires in my life. Wanting to make more money or have a higher, position in my job. But knowing that God's will is greater than that of my own. And I think that's something that we need to remember, we need to reflect on, and allow God to truly speak to us in our moments of reflection. Allow God to just bring clarity, to just allow him to speak love and just want into our lives. Allow him to allow him just to love us, and through that, we're going to just gain such a closeness in that, recognizing our position in the kingdom, that we're sons and daughters of the King, that we are entered into this great inheritance that only comes when you are an heir of the King. And as we choose to lay ourselves down and to believe that and to believe and trust in God. We get to witness and share in that joy. And so I do want to, at this time, invite the worship band back up. It is a little earlier, but that's all right. But during this time, we're going to move into a time of worship and a moment of remembering the sacrifices that Jesus made for us. We know that he paid the ultimate sacrifice of laying himself down on the cross and just dying for our sins so that we don't have to face death in that way. And so as we do this, there's the tables around the room. With the elements, we have a cracker and juice just to represent the body that was broken and the blood that was poured out. And so just if you feel ready, if God's leading you, go and partake in that. Go with someone next to you if you feel led. This doesn't always have to be something that you do alone. We are to share each other's burdens and joys. But this is also going to be a time where we're going to be able to give prayer. If you're looking for prayer, you can come up front and kneel down, or I believe there will be some people on the sides who are going to be able to pray with you if you need. But allow this time to be a time where the Lord can speak to you personally. If he's challenging you to sacrifice in a certain way, or if he's telling you and calling you to abide in him more, or maybe he's already been talking to you and it's a time to listen and obey. Because we know that through this we are just strengthening a testimony of who Jesus Christ is, and declaring that there truly is no one like Jesus. And I also want to say, during this time, we're going to also be giving our gifts of our offerings. And so I believe there will just be a time when the plates are passed around. But yeah, let this just be a time to reflect on who God is.